on session 6 of the letter to the Philippians by Paul. And today we will look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And the words are this: "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word of our Lord. Well, this is a poem that we're not sure if Paul wrote or if it was someone else, but it points to that unity and holiness that is in the story of Jesus. And as all music and art and poetry does, they all teach us and they open us perhaps to different thoughts, ideas, possibilities that can be held together. Unlike maybe my teaching here at this moment or a sermon where it feels very linear and then I have to connect the point to say, here's where all this builds up to, a poem or music or art holds you in that place of divergent thoughts, ideas, possibilities all together. And there is a lot to learn from this short poem. You think, oh, there's just a few verses today. This Bible study podcast will be very short, but we'll take a little time because there is a lot. Well, there are many stories that are wrapped up in this small section of verses 6 through 11. Number one, there is the story of Jesus himself before human, then to death, and then to exaltation. So Jesus as God, and then human, then his death, and then exaltation. That's one story that we can see throughout the poem. Another story that emerges from this poem are echoes of Isaiah chapters 40 through 55 that is filled with all kinds of poems of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to Israel. And then we have the image there in Isaiah of Israel as servant. And then there is an image as servant who does what Israel cannot do for itself. So where Israel was made to be that servant, then Jesus, or the one that would be sent to the world, takes that place as the suffering servant on their behalf. That's another story that emerges from this poem. An additional story is the story of the human being, of Adam and Eve, where we remember Psalm 8 and human beings being lower than angels, yet their destiny is to be that human being, that human creation that God desires. That's within the story. And then there's also a story of God in this poem. You see that Jesus is revealed as God in person. Jesus made known here for who God is. Jesus reveals the heart, the presence, the essence of God. Meaning when we look at him, we see who God really is, which conjures up all those thoughts of before Jesus, no one had really ever seen God or did not know the full essence of God. And now Jesus comes into the world and reveals that presence, the true heart. And that's powerful for us to behold. And then another story that comes through the poem is the story of Caesar, of the pagan empire, where there's that reality that is at odds with Jesus as the other reality. But Caesar is the parody. Caesar misses the mark. Caesar is not God. Jesus is. And then we see through that that the cross is at the heart of the vision of who God is, where it says, even in death on the cross, Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. This is what love is to look like in him. So all kinds of stories can be told in this section of the letter. But it's important to note that the overall poem is to transform how we think about Jesus in the world. The new mind again. We started out with that verse, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That we're getting formed as a people in a new mind in Christ. And so verse 6, Jesus is in God's form. Whereas verse 11, the very end, Jesus is exalted to God. Verse 7, there is the vocation that takes place. And then in verse 10, the opposite, the invocation of the Son. We go to verse 8, it talks about his humility. And we go to verse 9, and it's his exaltation. So all of this poem is being held together, but you'll see right there in the middle of that poem where it says, even in death on the cross or of the cross. That is the hinge that's holding these two pieces together. The cross is the ultimate revelation of God. This is what God did. What we see in verses 6 to 8 is the downward journey of love. I've often taught and preached on this, is that what we see in Jesus is the full descent of God, that God bends low, that God comes down, the downward journey of love, joining us on this journey of life. In the cross, when we look upon that cross, we understand that that was the full obedience of Jesus for the divine to take on that vocation. The vocation of obedience, Jesus being obedient even to the point of death. This means Jesus going into the darkest valley to rescue humankind. God doing this, going to the darkest valley to rescue humankind. This models a totally different way of power. And this is how God shows how to heal the world. This is how God shows what real life and love is to look like. That verse where it talks about Jesus emptying himself and that he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. If human beings had this in their mind, the world would look different. But so often, if we have status or resource or a whole lot of wisdom from our experiences, perhaps we'll use that status to elevate ourselves. And Jesus, however, does the exact opposite. The suffering servant descends. He empties himself. He takes on the weight of the earthly glory of the servant vocation. That is how God chooses to heal the world, to restore and rescue humankind. And God in Jesus is doing this to show us the way to be human. Church, this poem, this centerpiece of this letter, is a gift that reminds us that we too, as God's people, as Jesus followers, as disciples of this one, to take on the same and to do a downward journey of love. To experience our full humanity, to be obedient to this one who calls us to love, love, love beyond measure. To not let the weight of the world get us down or distracted, but to continue to pour it out and to do more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Because the story of God has been written into our heart and mind and soul. And if we're going to be of that one mind and one love and one hope and one body, then certainly Jesus is the one who will show us how to do that. So a few questions for you on this theme. Number one, where in your life do you need to rethink your humanity around the story of Jesus? Where in your own life do you need to rethink your humanity around the story of Jesus? Number two, how does the story of Jesus reshape your personal understanding of God? How does the story of Jesus reshape your personal understanding of God? And number three, how does the downward cross-shaped journey of Jesus challenge modern notions of love? How does the downward cross-shaped journey of Jesus challenge modern notions of love? I'm leaving you with a lot today, but when we come back, we're going to read a couple more verses or teach a little bit on verses 9 to 11. So I'm really just giving you questions around verses 6 through 8. But blessings as you dig into that and as you discern and as you listen for that mind and heart of Christ. Love you all. Take care.